afternoon to worship you. We confess to you the sin in our heart and ask for forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. You know our hearts. You know the needs that we have. And so as we come, Father, to study your word this evening, living our lives and walking on those crooked roads that you have ordained that we walk, help us to maintain our focus on you. And Lord, instruct us from this particular passage of Scripture as we look at walking in obedience to you. For this I ask in Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews 12, now the context here is in Hebrews 11 is the roll call of the faithful. And then follows the roll call of the faithful, the author goes in to the next chapter, and we're just going to look at the first two verses of it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, keeping in mind the crooked road, he says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses refers to chapter 11. And looking at the context, staying in the context, it's chapter 11. All the saints that are listed in that chapter there, plus many, many more that are in Scripture as well, who have walked in obedience to the Lord, not just when it was easy, but when it was very difficult. Now, another an additional way to look at that cloud of witnesses would be us, would be each other. Every one of us in this room been through some trying times. And we as brothers and sisters have watched one another go through those trying times. And we've seen the power of God demonstrated in one another's lives. So that's today. And so we have the brothers and sisters in Christ in the Scripture. And of course, chapter 11 has to do with Old Testament people and the New Testament folks, and then today in us. And so we're surrounded by people who've walked those crooked roads and walked it in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God. Now, notice what the first instruction is given to us in verse 1 after the great cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Okay, let us lay aside. And the verb to lay aside means to take off. It means to take off and remove. So it's like removing a garment and tossing it aside and moving on. And so what we need to consider, what is it in our lives is slowing us down spiritually? What is distracting us in our lives in running this race that is before us, making it more difficult? And usually, I would dare say in most of us, it's an attitude. It's an attitude that we have. Notice it says every weight. Every there can be translated each one. Each one. The weight, it slows us down and it delays action or progress. And usually it's an attitude adjustment that needs to be made. We develop these attitudes. We become skeptics. We become negative. We become judgmental. And it's hurting the individual spiritually to have such an attitude. And there could be many others. But what is it that's causing me not to make the spiritual progress that I'm capable of making. I'm capable. Every one of us here as believers in Christ are capable of growing spiritually and moving on. But I'm just not doing it. Why am I not doing it? What is it in my heart, in my attitude, and in my mind that's hindering my spiritual growth and my walk with the Lord? That's what we need to look at. Then it says, not only do we put aside or take off the weight, but the sin which clings so closely. Now the sin is rejecting God and asserting self. So where is it that I think more highly of myself as opposed to obeying God? Where is it that I'm going to handle this? And it doesn't matter what Scripture says. Is that an attitude I have? And notice it says, which clings so closely. That cling there means to control, to have a tight hand on something, and I'm controlling it, and I will not let it go. So what sin is controlling me? What attitude that I have that's controlling me and hindering my spiritual growth? That's a crucial thing to be aware of, and to be able and to be honest enough with ourselves to acknowledge, I have this attitude. I have this sin, and it is controlling me. And I want this off. And it's my responsibility to get it off. Now, let's keep on going. Once we do this, once we lay this weight and this sin aside, what do we do next? It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. Okay, we have to run. We have to run. What do you do when you run? You get tired. No, I'm not talking about that. You make progress. You're moving forward. And what are we supposed to do? As we run this race, we run it with endurance. This is the great doctrine of perseverance of the saints. We stay the course regardless of how difficult it becomes. Stay in the course regardless of how difficult it becomes. So we run with endurance. And what are we running with endurance? The race that is set before us. The interesting thing here is someone sets the race. We don't set it. Runners do not set the course, because if they did, it might not be as challenging as it needs to be. So this race is our life, and that race is set before us, and it's God that sets that race. Which goes back to Ecclesiastes 7 concerning the crooked road. God puts crooked roads in our path. And so when we come upon those crooked roads, we have to stay the course, because God has a purpose for us in running those crooked roads. It's part of our spiritual growth to be able to do that. And we have to stay on that course that God has laid out before us. Now, how do we do this? How do we do this? Look at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus. What I said this morning, the verb looking, or this afternoon, looking means to fix your eyes on Jesus and never take them off. To fix our eyes on Jesus and never take them off. And all of us know the distractions that come into our lives to cause us not to give undivided attention to our relationship with Christ. It's easy to do that. There's always something else to do. Always maybe something we'd rather do. But that's going to, we need to weigh, is what I'm about to do and embark on is going to help me spiritually or not. And this is very important for us to be able to discern that for ourselves in our own lives. So we look unto Jesus and look at it as the author and perfecter of our faith. The author. An author is one who writes a story or writes an article. They're the originator of it. And so Jesus is the originator of our faith. He gives us the faith to trust Him and to follow Him and to know who He is. He's given that to each of us. Now, the interesting word also is not just the author, but the perfecter of our faith. The completer. He's going to make that faith strong. And this is where, when Jesus was talking to the man whose son was demon-possessed, and the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, and you remember the guy said, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me where I'm weak. And so there are times you and I would do well, if this is the case, to admit to ourselves, my faith is not strong enough in this area. I'm struggling here. And I need to be stronger in my trust in the Lord to handle this. And so once I admit that to myself, now I've got to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm having a hard time trusting you in this situation. I'm just struggling. And then watch Him work. Ask Him, what do I need to do? I want to trust you, but I'm struggling here. Now, brothers and sisters, this is how we need to pray for one another. We should be close enough in our relationship with each other. And I hope and pray you have at least one other brother or sister in Christ in this church, in this fellowship, that you can go to them and say, you know, I've got this situation. And you explain it. And you can then say, and I'm just really having a hard time trusting God with this. Are we that close and have that much love for one another and confidence in our relationship that we know you will pray and not think less of me as a believer? And a lot of times it's pride, because we don't want to admit we're struggling. I'm included in that. I'm not saying y'all are the only ones. I struggle just like you do. And here I am up here teaching you all, and I need somebody telling me the same thing. We all have those struggles. And what a blessing it is when you have a relationship with a brother or sister in Christ and you have that confidentiality that you know they will pray and they will not talk. And they will pray consistently. And then, you know, you have that constant prayer. And so this is very important. Jesus is perfecting our faith. He's making it stronger. He's getting us to trust Him in ways that we've never had to trust Him before. And that's a challenge. That is a challenge when we enter a new phase in our lives that is brand new to us and we don't know what we're going to do. And yet God is clearly leading us in that direction. And we've all walked a path like that at some points in time in our lives. And it's kind of scary. So we acknowledge that. We turn to the Lord and we say, help, please. Help, please. I need it. and I want your help. And so Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, let's look at what Jesus did. Look at the next line. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice who for the joy that was set before him. Do you ever think of how joyous it was when Jesus was crucified? When he was nailed to the cross? Hanging there? I don't see a whole lot of joy in that. He was beaten before he was crucified. Where is this joy that he saw? The joy of Christ in that situation was freeing you and me from the bondage of sin and death. The joy that can come when we're walking that crooked road is to know that as I'm walking that road, my faith is going to be stronger. I'm going to see God work in me in ways that I haven't seen before. And I know that when I walk this path and I get to the end of it, I will get to the end of it. And I'm going to be stronger. And I'm going to have a closer relationship with the Lord. There's when the joy comes. And I'm not saying it's a joy to walk that path. It's downright scary and frightening. But I know God has got me on this path. I know I'm supposed to walk it. I'm doing the best I can. I'm focused on Christ. The joy will come when we get to the end of the road. That doesn't mean you die and go to heaven, because sometimes that'd be all right. But you've made the journey. The Lord has answered the prayer. And He's perfected your faith in greater ways than you and I ever realized. And then the joy comes. So He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And that joy was involved in that. He endured the cross. He didn't get off. He could have, but he didn't. He was despising the shame. He didn't let the shame stop him. He knew that's why he came into this world. He was going to accomplish that, and he's going to stay after it. And sometimes when we're walking that crooked path, boy, there's some embarrassment. There could be some shame in it. But we got to keep focused on Christ and keep walking that road. Eventually, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's seated. That means his work is complete. His work has been completed. And when you and I walk that road, and that road comes to an end, then our work on that road has been completed. And there's another one to come. And so, this is how we walk that road. And he sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. The right being a position of honor and a position of authority, because he completed it. God will honor us for our faithfulness to him. That might not come until we get to heaven and the rewards come at that point, whatever those rewards might be. But because we've been faithful, that honor will come. Knowing that it was a hard struggle, it was difficult, but I never did turn away from Christ. Now, how does that work out? How do I do all this? Well, the first thing is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. When we're having a hard time discerning what is this weight and sin that's weighing me down? What is it? And maybe we're having a hard time seeing it. It's not that we're denying it. And it's one thing to deny sin in the life, and it's another thing not being able to discern it. This is not being able to discern. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, when you and I pray that, we need to be prepared to see what the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you personally. You don't have to tell anybody. That's between you and the Lord. So when you pray that prayer and you sit there and see what the Holy Spirit does, then you and I have to be willing to say, "Yeah, that's me. That's me." And then confess it as sin, repent of it, and ask for forgiveness, knowing that you will be forgiven. You will be forgiven. But it really takes courage to ask God to show you personally where the sin is. And He'll do it. But you know, when He does it, it's a cleansing, freeing time of praying. And there's joy at the end of that prayer because it becomes a confession, a repentance, and asking for forgiveness and the assurance that you are forgiven and I am forgiven. So that's where we start, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And always keep in mind as you pray that one, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's always good to know that truth and to know that when we do confess and ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. The next thing that we need to do is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." Trust in the Lord. Have confidence in Him with all your heart, not half-heartedly. Taking this seriously. "Lord, I trust You completely. And lean not on your own understanding." Sometimes our understanding is warped. Sometimes we only know part of the story, and we're guessing at the other part. And sometimes we guess in a wrong way. And so, don't lean on your own understanding. So we trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, this is a key phrase here. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And that's saying, "Lord, I've got 2-3 options here. I'm going to go on this one. You bless it." That's not what this is saying. You got 2-3 options, and you say, "Lord, which one do You want me to take? Which one do You want me on?" Not necessarily, "Which one do I want?" And that's how we end up in crooked roads. You going to choose a crooked road to go down with a bunch of barriers? This week I was headed from our house over to the Eastwood Mall area, and I was going to go down Jemison Parkway. I thought, man, I'll just cut through there and I'll get through there. And you know what? They had one lane closed. And I thought, why did you go down here? Why did you go down here? And this little voice kept telling me, you know, the other day when you came through there, it was all messed up by construction. And you know what I told that little voice to do? Go take a hike. Because I needed to get there quickly. Guess what? I got stopped. Yeah. We don't want to choose construction area to go through. But sometimes it's necessary for us to go that way. God's going to direct us, though. It's got to be God's choice to put us on that path. And when He puts us on that path, He's got a purpose to work in you and me, and that purpose is going to be worked out. But am I going to trust Him to work it out? Which gets back to my attitude. Am I going to sit there and grumble the whole time? Why did you do this? Why am I having to face this? Or, Lord, okay, let me see what I got to learn here. So, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, the next passage we need to look at is James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And I think we looked at this last week. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. There's not a thing wrong in asking God, help me understand this. I was always told, don't ever question God. Well, it's all an attitude of questioning Him. Do you know what you're doing? That one I don't recommend. But I do recommend this. Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. I don't know what you're doing in my life. Help me understand. And He'll tell you. Now, He might tell you a little later on. I don't know when He's going to answer prayer. None of us do. Or how He's going to answer. But when we ask in faith, Lord, give me your wisdom. Help me to understand. Help me to walk in the way you want me to walk. And He'll give it to you and to me. You just think back. You've asked for that before. We've all asked for God's wisdom. And He's given it to us. So we need to ask for His wisdom. The next one is still in the book of James, chapter 4. In the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 10. He's talking about submitting to God and resisting the devil. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. But look at verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. As I said a moment ago, sometimes pride gets in the way. Sometimes pride just causes us to think too highly of ourselves than we ought. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to go along with that. And it's just a matter of pride. And you and I need to be able to recognize that in our own hearts. Am I stubborn? Am I determined to go this way regardless? And that could be a reason we're on the crooked road. Is that God's using that crooked road to break our pride and to really trust Him and to humble ourselves and admit that we need His help. Is it true that men are more stubborn than women when it comes to asking for direction? Ladies, I know you're not going to say, are you, Jane? Thank you, Jane. I appreciate that. You know, we'll burn 5 gallons of gas trying to find something around the corner. It's a matter of pride. It's a matter of pride. Will I admit I don't know something? Will I admit I can't do something? And I need help in doing something? And all that is a matter of pride. When we know we can turn to the Lord and get the help, the understanding that we need. That's why that crooked road becomes even a little more bumpy. Because God is working in us. We just have a stubborn streak in us that we don't want to do that. So how's your rocky road? How's that crooked road that you're on? Maybe you're not on one now. Well, thank the Lord for that. I'm not saying we always need to be on the crooked road. No, it's just when we're on the road, these are some truths that can help us run that part of the race that God has set before us. This is what He could be trying to accomplish in our lives. And then, again, realizing that He's sovereign over that bumpy road, and He is working on us. Lord, show me what You want me to learn, because I don't want to have to repeat this road again. That's how we walk the crooked road. And you'll be able to walk it, and I'll be able to walk it. And you know, sometimes we need to walk shoulder to shoulder, praying for one another and holding each other up in prayer and encouraging one another, lest we get weak and faint-hearted. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Be encouraged. All of us are running the race that is set before us. We just need to keep looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Shall we stand? Father in heaven, thank You so much for the blessings You've given us today, for the times we've had to worship You and to rejoice, the fellowship with You and brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank You for this time this afternoon. Once again, feast on Your Word. And I pray for each of us, Father, whatever road that You have us on right now, just enable us by Your Spirit to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we may run this race that You set before us in a manner that would be pleasing and honoring to Your holy and majestic name and good for us. Dismiss us with Your grace, mercy, and peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.